And we'll ask you to take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter number 19. Exodus chapter number 19. Last week we saw the dispensation of promise under Abraham. And we see tonight the fifth dispensation, that of law. And it begins here in Exodus chapter 19. We'll see from Mount Sinai, which is where we're at here in this chapter, to Mount Calvary, when Christ was crucified. About 1,491 years involved in that. But let's go ahead and read. We see the condition here in Exodus 19 and verses 1 through 8. It says, "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together, All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord." So we see here that God proposed the law before giving it to man. And when God gave the law by means of Moses, they all voiced that whatever the Lord says, we're going to do. All that the Lord hath said, we will. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now, the obligation, of course, is to render perfect obedience unto the law. Not for salvation, of course, because we'll see in a minute, salvation cannot be attained by the law. In fact, the law made the provision for when they broke the law to have their sin covered with the blood. And they had, of course, the ordinances, the sacrifices, and all that were there. But they were to render obedience according there to verse number 5 and 6 that we just read. But we know that righteousness does not come by the law. Romans 10, verse 5, Paul said, "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." But we see the transgression that took place, and 2 Kings chapter number 17, and some of this is going to be familiar with most of us here tonight. Most of you were with us whenever we went through the books of Samuel and the Kings and the Chronicles, looking at the history there of the kings. And we see the transgression mentioned in 2 Kings chapter number 17, and we're going to begin reading with verse number 7. And it says, "For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel which they had made. So we see here that they are, it's not that we got just a simple breaking of the law. We have an adamant reversal from God's ways, is what we have. You have them doing what the heathen do. Verse number 9 says, "And the children of Israel did secretly those things which were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. There they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, Ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets, by all the seers, saying, Turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded you, commanded to your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of their Lord their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Whew. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only." So we're talking here the downfall of the northern kingdoms. Look at verse 19. "And also Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel which they made." So we've got a sad situation here. They put the word of man in front of the law of God. They showed themselves to be lawbreakers. And of course we know that the Apostle Paul talks about this in Romans chapter number 3, verse 19 and 20. He says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Well, the law was not going to save them, but believing God and trying to follow as close as they could and to take and do the sacrifices that he called for when they did fall short was what they should have done. But they went with what they felt was right. And it was totally wrong. It was totally, totally against what God had given them in his law. Part of it reminds me of, the Pharisees thought they were doing God's law in their day, but Matthew 15, verse 6, Jesus rebuked them and said, "Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." They had elevated traditions to the same effect as God's law. And you can't do that. So what was the condemnation here? Well, they were carried away into Assyria. The northern 10 tribes were carried away into Assyrian captivity. We read about that in the first 6 verses here of chapter 17. Notice what it says. It says, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. Samaria was the capital of Israel. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. In other words, he's paying tribute. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. Think about a three-year siege against the city. Then the 9th year, Hoshea, the king of Assyria, took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and Habor by the river of Gozan and the cities of the Medes. So we see that there. And then we see verse number 20. Also, look at verse number 20. It says, and the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them, and delivered them into the hands of spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. Look at verse number 23. And verse 24 says, until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants the prophets, so was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cuna and from Alva and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. So we know from Bible history, and we dealt with this whenever we were studying this a while back, but a serious conquest of the northern kingdom of Israel began approximately 740 years before Christ, and it was under King Pul. And according to 1 Chronicles 5:26, the tribes located east of the Jordan River were the very first ones that were conquered by Assyria. We're talking about the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. You read that in 1 Chronicles 5:26. Nearly 20 years later, about 722 B.C., the capital city, Samaria, was overtaken by the Assyrians under Shalmaneser V. And after first forcing tribute payments, he later laid siege to the city when it refused to pay. And following a three-year siege, 2 Kings 17, verse 5 and 6 that we just read, notes that the king of Assyria captured the capital city of Samaria and carried most of the Israelites away to Assyria. And though a remnant remained in the north, the nation of Israel was under Assyrian rule. They were under Assyrian rule, and tens of thousands were deported and made servants in Assyria. And also, as we just read those final verses there, the Assyrians began to populate Israel with people from other nations they had defeated. And we see that the descendants of these foreigners and the remnant of Israel, they were later simply called Samaritans. They were mixed breed. They were half-breed, basically. And during the time of Christ, the Samaritans were despised as an unclean people because of their mixed ancestry and their rejection of temple-based worship. Well, that's the northern tribes. What about the southern tribes? Well, if you read in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah kind of chastises Judah to begin with for seeing what God did to Israel and not paying attention. Okay, basically, they should have known better. But yet they went and did some of the same things. And the southern two tribes of Judah were carried away into captivity as well. Look at 2 Kings 25. This was later than the Assyrian captivity. 2 Kings 25. And let's look at verse number 1 through 11 here. 2 Kings 25, verse 1, it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem, that was the capital of Judah, and pitched against it. And they built forts against it round about. And the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. And the city was broken up. And it says, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about, and the king went their way toward the plain. And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem. And he burnt the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem. Every great man's house burnt he with fire, and all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard brake down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city and the fugitives fell away to the king of Babylon with the remnant of the multitude did Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away. So we see that they had been warned that this captivity would last 70 years. And they did last 70 years, as the Lord had said through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:10. I do want to read one other passage here. Look at 2 Chronicles 36. I'm talking about one other passage dealing with this particular thing. Dealing with what the Lord was doing to Judah at this time. 2 Chronicles 36 and verses 14 through 16 are very telling here. It says in verse number 14, "Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abomination of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem." You see how far away the people had gotten? Look at verse 15. "And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers," talking about the prophets, "rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people." And here's the saddest words you'll read. "Till there was no remedy." There was no remedy. They weren't going to come back from they were going to be carried away. And the Lord had them carried away. So we see that mankind fail under the dispensation of the law, all that God has said we're going to do. No, they didn't. Yeah, and they paid the price for that. Now, just want to correct a wrong idea that man is saved by the keeping of the law. We know that that's not the case. In fact, Scripture is very clear about this. I read Romans 3, verses 19 and 20. But I want you to turn to Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter number 2. And we're going to see a couple of verses, one in Galatians 2, a couple of verses in chapter number 3, and also one in chapter number 5. First of all, Galatians 2 and verse number 16 is very clear. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. What the Lord was wanting them to do is just believe Him. Okay? And He made the provision for when they would mess up. He made a provision for them to offer to get their sin covered. And that was part of keeping the law. But they couldn't even do that. Look at Galatians 3, verse 10 and 11. It says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them." And you'll find that in Deuteronomy 27, 26, by the way. Look at verse 11. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith." Now, if the people of Israel had believed God, would they have lived? Would they have not gone into captivity? They would have. If they tried to follow the Lord the best they could and all of those things, that would not have saved them. But believing God would have saved them. They didn't believe God. And then chapter number 5, verse number 1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." God doesn't want us to be under a yoke of bondage, but what He does want us to do is listen to Him and believe Him and to trust in the blood of Christ to cleanse us from our sin. Amen. All right. That's our Bible study for this evening. And next time we'll take a look at the dispensation. I like to call it the dispensation of the church. It's also known as the dispensation of grace. The reason I don't like to use dispensation of grace is because people have the idea that grace is not in the other dispensations, but it's in every dispensation. And so we'll see that next time, Lord willing. Let's pull back out our prayer list, and we'll pray for the needs that we mentioned previously, and we'll be dismissed with this prayer.